Well, look, this is not the first time we've talked about these updated Aboriginal cultural laws on this program, but something that happened last weekend that I came across is disturbing. To say the least, these updated Aboriginal cultural heritage laws in WA have stopped a tree planting event to commemorate the late Queen Elizabeth II at the weekend. The Geraldton Mayor, Shane Van Stein, said a well-publicised planned event to plant trees at this reserve, which was an area damaged by a deliberately lit fire last year, had to be cancelled, all as a result of conflict and confusion caused by WA's new heritage legislation. And this happened only a week after the new legislation was introduced. We welcome the Geraldton Mayor, Shane Van Stein, to the program this afternoon. Thanks for your time, Shane.
Oh, thanks for having the show, Brenton, and good afternoon, listeners.
I read this story and I thought to myself, goodness, no, it can't be true. It is, isn't it? Tell us, because we've had people email, we've had people ring us this afternoon when I promoted the fact that I was talking to you. I've had them say, no, you've got it wrong, you've got it wrong. We haven't got it wrong. It actually happened, Shane. Could you tell us exactly how it happened?
Yeah, so the city was awarded $20,000 to go and get a whole bunch of seedlings and plant some trees in honour of the Queen's Canopy Project back late last year before her passing. We went out there to dig some holes and put it on the reserve, and local Aboriginal knowledge holders came out and protested the fact that we were disrespecting the site as it had significance to the family. They stated that the site was culturally significant as their great-grandfather worked on a market garden there in the 1950s, and as such had a family connection, and we hadn't asked their permission to disturb the ground. And under the new Act, any ground disturbance more than 50 centimetres or moving more than 4 kilos of dirt, in its collective, in this case 200 trees, you have to get Aboriginal cultural clearance or permission from knowledge holders. And certainly with a knowledge holder stating that they wanted works to stop and shouldn't be going ahead, and respecting the Queen is a colonising impact on Aboriginal people, we immediately had to cease and desist planting trees.
Could I ask you, because I'm being the devil's advocate here, but if it wasn't commemorating Queen Elizabeth, if it was commemorating somebody else, not royalty, do you feel that it would have happened?
Look, we just don't know at this point what the definition of Aboriginal cultural heritage is now. It's moved from being sites of significant ceremonies and registered sites, which we're all acutely aware of, to now just being determined as anything that might be spiritual or of connection to a family or knowledge holder. And it's not defined in the Act. It's going to be ultimately decided by the local representative bodies, which state government hasn't yet founded.
Shane, am I right in saying that you and the local council were actively involved in speaking about these new cultural heritage laws? Am I right in saying that you were actively involved in talking about them?
Look, this is the Act only came into play really on the 1st of July with the regulations. What is very concerning is the government only released a lot of the data actually on the day it became available, and isn't. So things like the power of Aboriginal inspectors to enter your property, to search your sheds, to stop and search cars, to actually commandeer vehicles and plan to conduct their works, the right to demand your passwords off your computers, to look for records, and the right to use such force as is not likely to cause grievous bodily harm or death in the conduct of their duty. So extreme powers. So we've had to raise this. We want to get this out in the open because this is a tree planting. I'd hate to think the scale of kerfuffle that could come in should we be using excavators and loaders and diggers in a quarry, or maintaining mountain bike tracks out in areas that we understand can have some significance.
Am I right in saying that it's anything over 1,100 square metres?
Yeah, so any property over 1,100 square metres falls under these rules, but as well as some smaller properties, if you're inside and inside a protected area. Now, we also have some houses that might be butt up against a riverbed. It actually applies to them too. There are some exemptions. However, I myself live in the centre of town on a 1,600 square metre block, so I fall into that in the urban centre of the city of Greater Geraldton. Anyone at all has to at least demonstrate that they have made endeavours to check on the website, to check with local knowledge holders, and the state government hasn't created any of those systems to do this yet. So we're just all flying by the seat of our pants as to what we can and can't do on our land, and I'm aware of prospectors have been kicked off their leases already. I've seen developers pulling back because now they need to go backwards and ascertain what cultural impacts their works might have.
Shane, was this talked about before these laws were put into place? Was there a lot of conversation about it, or did it just happen?
The Enabling Act is around 18 months old. However, the government had a lot of the enabling legislation redacted from all their websites until it came into force on their government websites. There were some public submissions in a period. Public consultation opened for 10 days in total on this act. It was introduced to Parliament one day. It was passed Parliament the next day. As they control both houses of Parliament. So the opposition needed a chance to debate it. We had a 10-day window to make submissions on it, and the regulations themselves only came out 3 days before they came into power on the 1st of July this year. So we haven't had the opportunity to really have a solid talk about it, and I think it's important that we are looking at the cost impacts. We see a fellow in Exmouth who has a 4,000 square metre block in Exmouth, just 800 kilometres north of Geraldton. He wants to build a house, and he had to go get a cultural survey because that whole township is a registered site. He was quoted $25,000 in Aboriginal clearance fees to go and build a residential house on his lot. These are significant cost impacts that are going to go and affect a lot of people.
But let's tell that story. This gentleman that has the 4,000 square metre property in Exmouth, he paid for the cultural survey. I believe it was in excess of a total of $25,000 for that survey. And the result of the survey means possibly he can't build his family home on the 4,000 square metre property he bought with that as his main intention.
That is absolutely correct, and this is the issue we have. A lot of local government works like me as well. We apply for government, state and federal grants, and we get given those money with timelines and conditions to do the construction. So if we can't get Aboriginal clearance on it, we could see local governments handing funding back and not being able to do the vital road infrastructure we needed. But if residents are hit with a 25,000, that's more than stamp duty on buying a new house now. And these experts, the cultural areas, come out of Perth and you have to supply them a card. And what we don't know, and there's schedules of rates, is do you have one cultural heritage inspector? What if they bring nine and we have to pay them a daily rate? It's all up in the air and there is no systems for this, but it's not uncommon as a city to pay $25,000 to $30,000 for a development clearance application for works when we're, say, replacing a like-for-like culvert out on a road network.
Is it also true that, I mean, you don't have to physically find evidence, as in hard evidence, on the property? They're talking about, dragons and cultural things that are important to the Aborigines, I mean, may be on the property, so therefore it deems the property non-usable.
This is the greatest attack on private property rights this settlement of Western Australia has probably ever seen since colonisation, I might add. So what we are seeing here is the definition change to spiritual importance. So it could be an emotional attachment. It could be a song line. It could be as recently as, again, an example quoted with the tree planting, that in the 1950s, someone's grandfather was a co-owner in a market garden. I know from our experience, we were able to get fast-tracked through a clearance process. It only took 6 months on the basis that the river serpent was better able to flow through the dry riverbed as a result of the improved culvert. So on the basis that the spirit was more free to flow, we were able to expedite those works. If it was going to slow down the spirit movement, and we might have even had to redesign the entire project.
Spiritual importance. My goodness. What has been the general public's reaction to this so far?
Look, because of the way this has just been rammed through Parliament and just rammed through these last minute consultations, the government's only today just going out and doing public consultations on it, but the Act's already in play. So I don't think the community are entirely were aware of the impacts of these, and obviously the tree planting being sort of the main first example of where it's occurred has spread like wildfire. I mean, here I am on the East Coast radio now talking now, but through Western Australia, it's really sparked. I mean, we've got departmental heads coming to Geraldton now to try and talk through this. I've been speaking with other language groups that are horrified by the Act themselves. Even our local native title representative bodies here in WA are against these laws. This is what's remarkable. The very people that are in charge of assisting with native title and running these systems are against them. This has been rammed through by a government that thinks that they know better. better than everybody, even the Aboriginal people there whose spiritual heritage they're seeking to protect.
The word you just used, people are horrified. I mean, people, when I started talking about this here, people just didn't believe that what I was saying was true. They thought, no, that's ridiculous. Because, I mean, a farmer who owns, you know, a farm has to go and get this cultural survey if they want to time their land. Is that correct? Because it's deeper, if they're using the deep tines, if they're deep ripping, it's deeper than what, you know, they're permitted to use on their property.
This is correct, and of course at times flooding events can occur, and from time to time farmers need to move dams and need to move projects, and this requires Aboriginal cultural heritage clearance. And I agree with you, when we raise this issue with particularly media or members of parliament, members of public, people obviously think I'm taking some sort of drugs when I say about the seizure the rights and property access rights. I just don't think people genuinely believe it at times, and now they're starting to see it come into play. This is going to get really bad, and I fear for the day some folk, you know, go out to look at a cultural heritage site out on a station somewhere and show up unannounced and start commandeering vehicles and the like. I fear for how that conflict is going to escalate going forward. That's a dangerous position for people to be in.
Absolutely. Let's bring it back to the tree planting. Are you going to be able to eventually be, you know, complete this tree planting or not?
So we walked to another language group later on, and got permission to go and plant them somewhere else. Those trees have gone into remnant bushland. The site that is in question still remains a barren wasteland from the deliberately lit fire.
Goodness me. All right, look, thank you for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon. No doubt we've been watching this story. We'll follow it, and we may talk again.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks, Shane. Bye-bye. That's the Mayor of Geraldton in WA, Shane Van Stein. So, there you go. You heard it. As they say from the horse's mouth, it's scary stuff, isn't it? I didn't make it up. The example I've been giving since I heard this story was the Exmouth property of 4,000 square metres. What Shane didn't say is the owner of that property that had to go and get the cultural survey at a cost of in excess of $25,000, and they came back and told him basically they had found things here which meant he couldn't build his family home on the property. Has it rendered that property worthless? It possibly has. It was his dream property to build his dream home. The gentleman who owns the property that paid for the cultural survey, he's actually himself Indigenous. This is madness, absolute madness.